What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlineWorld.com or download the free Jaialai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlineWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlineWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Oh, my God.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Cooper Rush.
And Cooper Rush MVP odds.
And so is exactly the, the question.
Look it up.
Do we have a quarterback controversy?
Hey, everybody, safe travels home.
Today's guest, Pro Football Hall of Famer, head football coach from Jackson State University, Deion Sanders. NFL Network host, Colleen Wolfe from NBC's Quantum Leap. Actor, Ernie Hudson. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live in home of Big Ten country. That's Los Angeles, California. Here getting set for week four of the NFL season, starting tomorrow night on Prime Video, which you can get on your Roku device. How about them apples?
Love
right?
it. Love it.
Your Roku device, also home of the Rich Eisen Show, the same with Amazon Fire TV, the same with Samsung Smart TVs. We say hello to anybody who's out there watching on any mobile device that they want, because that's what you do. When you have a mobile device, you get the Roku app. The Roku channel is free on it. Or if you're one of those checking us out at work right now, we appreciate you being less productive by watching us on the RokuChannel.com, maybe on a laptop or anything you connected to the internet. We say hello to the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio audience, those listening to us on the Odyssey app, those listening to us on Sirius XM, channel 218 on Sirius, 202 on XM. We would like for you to call us, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Our Cumulus podcast network is how you can get this show all 3 hours on a podcast. You can listen to us on demand. You can watch us on the Roku channel. Once this is over, it re-airs over and over and over again on channel 210. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is also a nice backstop to check out whatever you may miss over the next 3 hours. And in terms of missing anything, I would stay put exactly where you are, because one of my favorite people on the planet, the most famous man I've ever walked through an airport with, is joining us in 17 minutes time. His name is Deion Sanders. He's the coach of Jackson State football. They're kicking everybody's ass, to be very
yes,
honest with you.
They really are.
And his son is kicking everybody's ass as well at the quarterback position. Shedeur Sanders, he thinks his son should be a Heisman candidate mentioned, and his numbers certainly support that. But we're not going to talk all that much football with Deion because he's coming on to talk about his hair restoration.
Yep.
And he's been pushing me to do it for a very long time. And yep, the conversation that's going to happen in about 17 minutes, it's going to be real. It's going to be real, and it'll be spectacular. And I wouldn't miss it if I were you. My colleague Colleen Wolfe from the NFL Media Group will be here in studio in hour number two. She is, quite frankly, taking a bullet for all of us this weekend. She is hosting the pregame show of Viking Saints on NFL Network at 6 a.m. Eastern time.
Oh, ooh. Eastern.
Eastern.
3 a.m. local time here.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
No thanks.
You get the Sunday off? Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yes.
So what you going to do?
Sleep in.
No. Best dad ever. Best dad ever.
Wow.
Got a lot going on. But at any rate, so she's joining us here, and her Philadelphia Eagles are
3-0. Yeah, they are.
So her incredibly sunny disposition will be put to the test on Sunday morning. That's going to be a 1 a.m. wake up, I believe.
Probably.
Oh, Kurt Warner's doing it with her, too.
Oh, well, Kirk doesn't sleep. He's like a vampire.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he's also going to go straight up the coast for Monday Night Football, Westwood One, which is Rams and Niners. What a great way. The week starts with Miami and Cincinnati. Tua versus Burrow, like it's Vern Lundquist at the mic, you know. Or, I'm sorry, Brad Nessler. I'm dating myself. Like the SEC's back all over again in a big game. Undefeated Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals at 1-2, trying to get back to 500 and erase that 0-2 start in a span of just 5 days with wins against the Jets. And then hopefully for them against the Dolphins. And then in hour number three, Ernie Hudson's coming in here.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Quantum Leap has been rebooted. He's in it. We're seeing all those commercials during Sunday Night Football. The kids are like, what's Quantum Leap? And then Susie and I are sitting our children down and saying, well, kids, there was a guy named Scott Bakula. And no, we don't say that. But
it looks really cool.
The kids are into it. They're like, awesome. Can we watch that? And Ernie Hudson is in it. Obviously, we'll go down the Ghostbusters memory lane and then put the kids away because we'll go down the Oz memory lane. And that's not a metaphor for anything. Actually, it is a metaphor. What am I saying? So, look, bottom line is this. I would move. Lots to talk about on this. My power rankings coming up. My power rankings coming up in hour number two, and it will cause a conversation. I will tell you that. That's what power rankings are supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, Chris. You've been pushing me to do power rankings forever. You and
we
TJ
love
just
power.
Did yours and put
love
it on our YouTube
stream. We just
stream.
Did them last night.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show.
Check it out.
And I'm already thinking mine might
dumb.
Be wrong.
You guys are going to be like, what are you thinking? And I'm like, too bad. It's my power ranking.
We might not. Have you seen ours? We might be, you know.
You just made the list.
Coming up later on. Coming up later on. But, you know, we're going to start this show in a way that I don't think any other show like this one. And there really isn't one like it. I'm just talking about sports talk or sports talk radio /TV. There's lots of those now, by the way.
Television
and radio show. We're a television show and a radio show.
Yeah, that's right. So
put it all together. And I don't think another show is starting this way. The AFC East is very, very tough. And you've got the Bills and the Dolphins just played. As Chris Long, our Monday guest, our regular Monday guest, as he now is, he called it a de facto playoff game. So did Ken Dorsey in making a seeming apology for his wrecking his workspace and being caught on camera throwing a tantrum after that game ended at triple zeros with the Bills having an opportunity to kick but not being able to get on the field for it. An apology I didn't think was necessary. But even he said it was a playoff game. It was like a playoff game. So you got two teams playing old playoff games in week three, putting it all out there. And you got the Dolphins at 3-0, the Bills at 2-1, and it's a very tough division, especially since the team sitting in third place right now, alphabetical order. Over the equally 1-2 Patriots. The New York Jets are about to join the fray because Zach Wilson has just been cleared to return to action.
Oh, baby.
Yes, we know how to spell in the New York metropolitan area. We've been proving that, despite getting kicked in the nards, N-A-R-D-S, by the football G-O-D-S for decades to come.
Kick him in a penis.
And so we've got ourselves Zach Wilson.
What?
Coming to the fore here in week number four. And this is what Coach Sala said back in week number one, where he said, everybody back off. It's going to be Joe Flacco. The earliest we might see Zach Wilson is week four. And how about this? It's week four, and we're going to see him. Robert Saleh had this to say about the situation moments ago.
It's really just exciting for him to get back on the football field. It's been 6 weeks, and, you know, there's a lot of different things that have to go around in terms of making sure that we run an efficient offense from us as coaches to O-line to receivers running routes. Everybody's involved. So it is exciting to get him back out there. But at the same time, it's not all about Zach. It's making sure that we're executing on all cylinders like as we should every week.
I don't blame Coach Sala for saying what he just said. It's a team effort. Got to have the guys up front blocking and the guys who are running routes run routes and catch the ball. Giants fans will tell you how important it is for their receivers to catch the ball. The ones that they're overpaying to catch the ball. I understand. But it's not just a team game when it comes to this situation. it's Zach Wilson time in New York, and it is, unfortunately, despite the fact of his injury-marred first year and his second year starting with the first instance, unfortunately, of MetLife's turf just grabbing somebody non-contact. And the Jets are lucky that Zach Wilson's coming back this year as opposed to Sterling Shepard, who has no such luck. But it's Zach Wilson time, and unfortunately, it's time for him winning games coming right out of the gate. Got to see it. Got to see it. And we've got to see why he was chosen second overall. Got to see it. Got to see him hitting his back foot and getting rid of the football on time. Got to see it. Got to see him rolling out and creating problems for the defense because that's what he can do and Joe Flacco can't. Got to see it. Got to see him making comebacks like Joe Flacco did in week two. Got to see it. Got to see him hitting the open receivers so they can get the yards after the catch that this offense is built to provide. Got to see it. And got to see him play all four quarters. Got to see him get out of bounds when he should. Got to see him slide when he should. Got to see it. And got to see it now. We do preach patience on this program. How many times I say we're marathoning, we're not sprinting. But this team drafted Breece Hall, and he's putting in some nice work for the first 3 weeks. We haven't seen Jonathan Taylor-like ability, words that I heard during the draft week and subsequently. But we'll see. Seen Garrett Wilson become a difference maker week two. That comeback wouldn't happen if it wasn't for Garrett Wilson. OHing in the face of the Browns fans. Saw that. Got to see that again. Got to see Elijah Moore still doing what he's doing. Got to see it. Yes, you got to have blocking up front. Yes, you got to have the receivers running the routes. You got to have the running backs hit the holes. And you got to have the defense playing way better than they're playing. Sauce Gardner, one of our favorites. He's made a lot of rookie mistakes. A lot of rookie mistakes through the first 3 weeks. A lot of blown assignments from number one. In your program, number one in your heart. We're marathoning, we're not sprinting with the rookies, but Zach's not a rookie anymore. The guy has played some, and he has watched a lot. And let's see what he has learned watching a lot. Let's see if we can find the ceiling being Mahomes, as Tony Romo said. Man who's known for calling his shots accurately when Zach Wilson was drafted. It's time. And I'm excited, and I just can't hide it. Yes, I went that way on you.
You know, and you think you like it?
Well, I'll find out.
Okay.
Against the Steelers team that's putting Mitchell Trubisky out there again. The mini bye did not shake Mike Tomlin off his belief of it's Trubisky's offense and it's going to get better. And he's seeing better plays on offense. He's seeing better execution on offense. Not seeing points in the end zone, I guess, but it's AccraSure Part 2. Didn't go very well in Part 1 with Mac Jones and the Patriots coming to town. Now here comes Zach Wilson and everything that we Jets fans dreamt of at the draft with Breece Hall being added and Zach Wilson having now Garrett Wilson, another Wilson on the offense. It's time to see it. We're going to see it, and I can't wait to see it. And it can't be a struggle. Can't be a struggle. Can't be this kid can't see this, can't see that. Because guess what? Year two. Trevor Lawrence has certainly come out of the box nice and fresh. Offensive player of the week.
Oh, I didn't see that.
In the American Football Conference.
Nice.
Trevor Lawrence just took 3 weeks for him to have that type of performance. And I know, Zach, this is just week one for him. I'm not saying I need to see AFC player of the week type material. I just need to see better. And I'd like to see a win. I'm not going to lie. A team with an offense. Whose offense would you take? Whose offense would you take on that field in AccraSure on that Sunday?
I would take the Jets.
And that's a manhole cover that man just threw around right there, folks. I would take him too. So they got to win the game. And the defense has got to show up. So, with all due respect to Coach Sala saying what he just said, which is it's more of a team effort, true, fact, team game, got it. There is no I in Jets. Understood. again. It's time. Here we go. You got a tough division. You could say the two best teams in football are the teams they're looking up at in that division. That's an argument that could be posited and backed up through 3 weeks. Got to go. Unless you're just, well, this is another year that we're just gonna have to see what's what. Because I'll tell you what, wild card is wide open through 3 weeks in the AFC. Wide open through 3 weeks. AFC West isn't nearly as tough as everyone thinks, as it appears. And the AFC South, second place team is 1-1-1. And okay.
The eighth seed right now.
Okay. And you look at the AFC North, that's a tough spot. That's a tough division. But if you can go 2-2 in it, which the Jets would if they beat Pittsburgh, that's not too shabby. So you have to figure of the three wild card spots in the AFC, one's going to go to whoever doesn't win the AFC East. And the other two, up for grabs. Yeah. Totally and completely up for grabs. And if you're battling for a seventh and final playoff spot come top of January 2023, and you could put on the table a tie break against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got to do it this week. Let's go.
Richard, seventh seed if the playoffs started today.
Mm.
Buffalo Bills. And you know where they'd be playing this weekend?
That's crazy talk.
At your two seed, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, very good. That's a snapshot. Let's see if in 14 weeks it's similar. I will proffer to say it is not. All right, let's go to break. I wouldn't move. Don't move. Don't move. There's no dial. Even if you had one, you wouldn't touch it. Deion Sanders is about to join us. And I know wherever he is, whatever, you know, whatever media tour he's doing for Restore, he knows whoever he's talked to before and whoever he's about to talk to on this media tour, it will be nothing like the conversation he's about to have. And he knows it. He feels it. And he's going to bring it. And I am ready to defend my baldness-ish. Because he knows I'm also wavering, which is not a way for me to prepare for this interview.
Oh, gosh.
Wavering.
Rich.
844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Brockman staring a hole in me saying the bald brotherhood. This man is a traitor. Why would I talk to a traitor?
We've already had one, Brian Urlacher.
Deion Sanders coming up next. One of my favorites. Don't move. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because my Sleep Number setting means I get to set my side of the bed to this mattress firmness I like, and my wife gets to do that with hers, and we really love our Sleep Number bed. And in time for fall, there's a great deal to tell you about, including the fact that Sleep Number gives you tips to help you fall, get it, asleep faster. Like for you, try moving bedtimes back 10 to 15 minutes each night until you arrive at your new bedtime. Then adjust wake times to 10 to 15 minutes earlier each day to find the perfect sweet spot. If you got school-aged kids, Sleep Number tells you 10 hours will do the trick for school-aged kids. Too little sleep impairs their ability to learn new information, which can, of course, affect concentration and schoolwork. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. And now, save 30% on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or at sleepnumber.com/Eisen. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay. Anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the heck?
On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Find the latest and greatest audio entertainment on Audible. It's got everything you want to hear, including our show, The Rich Eisen Show. You can get it on Audible. We're so excited. My wife and I, Susie and I, with the with the kids, whenever we would like some sort of ride to be nice and quiet, we pop on a Harry Potter book on Audible. It's amazing. And along with podcasts, you'll also find audiobooks and exclusive originals. We're talking comedy, sports stories, deep dives with athletes, entertainers, and business. Anything else you're into. With Audible, you get access to thousands of included titles. With more added every week, listen on the road, at the gym, or anywhere you want to fuel up your imagination. Join and get 30 days free at the home of storytelling, audible.com, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. I love this man. I love him deeply. One of the best teammates anybody can have, certainly in the television business. Anybody who's teammates with him would tell you that. We're not talking to him as a teammate right now. No, we've talked to him as Cody Prime, Coach of the Year Prime.
Say it again.
Cody Prime. C-O-T-Y Prime. Coach of the Year Prime has joined this program before. We're not talking to Cody Prime today on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. No. We are talking to the Comeback Player of the Year Prime. On behalf of Restore. C-P-O-Y. On behalf of Restore. The head coach of the 4-0 Jackson State football team.
Yeah.
Is Deion Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Comeback Player of the Year Prime? What's going on?
So subliminal messages, the Comeback Player of the Year, you know, just the head coach. I mean, just all those subliminal messages were awesome, Rich.
Well, listen, Prime, I'm bringing my A game because I knew, I was saying, going to break, that if this is a media tour you are conducting on behalf of the non-surgical hair restoration method that's caused you to be the Comeback Player of the Year, and your immense success since doing it, not like prior to that, you were, you know, a slouch. I just knew that whatever tour you were on, you knew whatever conversations you were having before or after would not be like the one we're currently endeavoring right now, Prime.
It never will be, it never is. We always make national headlines, so I'm just waiting to see what's going to be national that we talk about.
Oh, today. I've got that. I've got that. I've got that.
I'm pretty sure.
I've got that in my back pocket, Prime.
Oh, I know that. I know that for sure. So let's get the business out of there.
Yes.
You can make a comeback like me and many of my friends that I don't want to call their names because they're not as confident as I am with their comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
But they have some tremendous comebacks. But I think I'm going back, though, Rich. I got a little crown, like, in the back that I'm going to get that filled. It's like, you know, I got to just fill that crown up and I'm good.
What do you got? You got, like, a McNabb thing going? Is that what you're talking about?
No. What is the McNabb thing?
Didn't he start losing it in the back, you know, in the front, too? Didn't he start doing that? Didn't LeBron start doing that, too? By the way, is LeBron doing this? Is LeBron doing this, Prime? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think LeBron let it go. I heard that. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, he had a full head of hair on Monday.
He showed up to the Lakers. He showed up to the Lakers media day. He's the Comeback Player of the Year already, I think, in the NBA. That's what it looked like to me.
Wow. Now, you know Jason Witten was the comeback player at one point. You remember that?
Jason Witten.
I noticed. I think Breeze was a Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah, Breeze.
Right?
Yeah. A few of those guys have been comeback guys, but they won't say anything about it. You should be proud when you make a comeback like that.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say, Deion, other than the fact it looks good on you. How long would it take for me to get something like that? How long would it take?
It'll come all the way back. I had to think, Rich, because we're, you know, it's not ordinary. It's not ordinary. you know, I would say a full comeback, probably several months.
Whoa. I don't have that time. I'm on the air every day, Dion. I don't have that time.
But you could hat it up. I mean, you could hat it up.
Yeah.
I don't have my rakish hat with me in studio. I took that home. Hat it up. Is that right?
You could hat it up. You know what? The latest comeback, Samari Roll. I could say his name because he's proud.
Okay.
Samari Roll.
All right. Samari Roll is a comeback player of the year. Okay.
Yeah, he's making a comeback right now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And restorehair.com, and you can return to your normal routine and become coach of the year. You could do that too.
Yeah.
All right, Prime. Okay, let's talk for real here. Okay, let's jump
there you
in.
Go.
Okay, you ready for some real talk?
Let's get to the nitty gritty.
Okay, let's start with your current football team and your current quarterback. I saw you were talking about your quarterback should be in the Heisman race, right?
Yep. Didn't stutter nor did I stumble.
So why do you think Shador is not in the Heisman talk right now, Prime?
Because we're at Jackson State, and the search for equality is a consistent search. We're often underfunded and overlooked, and I'm not going to allow that. Not either one. So Shador, when you look at numbers, then you don't have to just look at numbers because people just say numbers. Well, what about this kid playing at this college and that college? You, the level of them are different. When a pro sees a kid, I don't give a darn if he's at Slippery Rock. If he can ball, he can ball, and a pro knows that. I just happen to have pro eyes that played 14 years and was with the NFL Network another 14. So I'm really pretty much darn near 30 years in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I know a pro when I see a pro. Like when I say that guy is a pro or this guy we played against is a pro or this receiver I have on my team is a pro, I'm just validating. I know what it looks like.
And he just happens to be your son. I'm sure you're hearing that too. So.
Okay. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with that. I promise you, this has nothing to do with that. This has something to do with just, I mean, the kid was 21 to 24 at halftime. I mean, and it ended up 41 for 50, 430 yards, like, and just spinning it, man. Just spinning it.
7 yards off the current FBS leader in Michael Penix Jr. up in Washington, 14 touchdowns, completing 75% of his passes. But you know the pushback is going to be the level of competition you're facing at the level you're coaching at, Dion.
Yeah, right? But, I mean, they're drafting kids from HBCUs. They're drafting kids from FBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
FCS, FBS. They're drafting kids from both of these conferences. So if you're draftable and kids are going to pros from these conferences, why can't they be considered?
Give me a comp.
I'm just asking the question.
What's the comp? You know how that works in the NFL. They're like, what's the comp? What's your kid's comp for the NFL? What do you got?
What do you mean?
Who's the comp? Like, what's the quarterback comparison that you have that he would compare to?
I can't even say that, and I wouldn't dare to say that. I don't think he looks like anyone. Like, I don't, because the kid has it, man. Our team has. We have several guys. I mean, we just had 3 scouts today here. I mean, we have scouts here every day now. That's where we are right now. Scouts are coming every day.
Well, that's part of the plan. And you know the part of the real world, too, Prime, is that, you know, when jobs in FBS open up and they might be, you know, intertwined with your previous stops or DNA, football DNA, you'll get mentioned. Georgia Tech's gig is open. Your name has been bandied about quite a bit. You hearing that?
I like that word. You said bandy?
Bandied about. Yes, being thrown about.
I've never heard that, Rich. I like that. I'm gonna use that in a sentence.
Anytime. Anytime.
Bandied about.
Yes, sir.
It's nice to be mentioned. It's even nice to be, you know, like, so you saying a guy can come from HBCUs and coach at a higher level, but the quarterback shouldn't be considered.
Look at you turning it. you're so good. You are so good.
But the quarterback shouldn't be considered at the next level. I don't know how that works.
Yes, it works. That you're good enough to step up to the next level, but you know your quarterback is evaluated differently. But still, the question stands because again, we're real talk, right? So would
right, real talk. Real,
does
real
that
talk.
Does that interest?
If I were to go,
yeah.
If I were to go to the next level, you don't think the quarterback is going to the next level?
Okay, so you'd bring him to Georgia Tech, Prime? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. First of all, I hadn't said anything about Georgia Tech. You have, okay?
That is correct. Yes.
What I'm saying is, yes, it's just funny that you say I'm good enough, and my name is being
bandied about. Bandied about. Yes.
Tossed and hit around like a fastball to a judge. You know.
Hmm.
I like that, though. I like that thought process. I really do.
Deion Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. You mentioned Judge. I'm keen to know what you think. Have you been watching any of that?
Yes.
Prime?
I can't help. I don't watch a lot of baseball, but shoot, I'm so proud of that young man. It's unbelievable, man. Because, you know, baseball is a sport that's so rich in history. And when you start tinkering with history in baseball,
mm-hmm,
it's unbelievable because there's so much history. And this kid is unbelievable. He's been unbelievable from the beginning, first and foremost. But this year, it's just crazy. And I'm following him every game.
Well,
I'm watching.
What do you think? Because he's walked 11 times, Deion, during his after hitting 60 home runs, and you know there are some who are thinking that maybe he should be swinging more, and then. But that would take him out of his approach, right? I mean,
trying to win. The kid is trying to win. He's a good kid. Like if he was a selfish kid, like some of our past, that he'd have been swinging for the fence. But he's trying to win, and trying to help his team in all aspects. And that's what I respect about it. He's not just there swinging at everything.
And how about your former skipper now with the Mets, getting the Mets in position with Buck Showalter? You got a good.
I love me some Buck Showalter.
I know you do. You got a.
It's not too many men that I've been coached by that I love as I love Buck Showalter.
You got a good story.
The impact that he had on my life.
Really?
Unbelievable.
How so?
Yeah. I mean, just Buck was like. He really got me to the point to take this serious, like to take that game. Don't just go out there and play a song. You could really be good. Buck taught me how to bunt. You know, I just had so much fun playing for him. I had so much fun that I didn't really want to leave AA. I wanted to stay there because I wanted to learn more. But he told me, no, you're not going up. You're going to the show. You're not going to show. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're going to the show. I said, I don't know what that means. You're going to the Yankees. What? like that was the conversation when he called me up, man. When I got the call up,
so he was the one. So he was the one who told you were going to the major league level.
We stayed in the same apartment complex, and he's like, "What do you got? What you cooking over there?" Like, I think we got pork chops. That's back when I used to eat pork chops. Pork chops and baked beans and rice, my favorite meal. The girl was cooking, and he said, "Well, I'm cooking somewhat the same. You want to come over here and eat?" I said, "Well, my lady just cooked. What's going on?" And that's what he told me.
Oh my gosh. Did he and then how soon after that did you encounter Carlton Fisk, Prime?
Carlton Fisk lied. First of all, you know he lied. I told you that story. He lied.
Do you want to tell it here or where you want to?
Yeah, he lied. First of all, I would never disrespect the game. You don't know how respectful I am of people in the game.
Yes.
So for him to lie and said I drew a dollar sign in the dirt, that was a lie. I grew up in inner city. I played baseball. We didn't like have chalk batting boxes. So I used to always draw half a circle, and it was like a B in the middle where I put my back foot and up to my stride point. That's what I always drew in the batter's box every time I went up my whole career, college on everywhere. And, you know, he said I was drawing a dollar sign, and he yapped off at me. And, you know, back then I didn't give a darn. I wasn't the historical type of guy. I didn't know anything about the history of the game and the respect level of the game. I just know at that time, if you challenged me, I was going to challenge you. If you act like you was going to put your hands on me, I'm going to put my hands on you first. That was the ignorant young Prime. And that's just pretty much how it was. And he lied to the media and said that I drew a dollar sign in the dirt. And all. It was a lie. I said, well, just get the footage, guys. Just get the footage from the game. Just get it.
And then... One last baseball story, and then I got one last thing for you, and then you can go on with your day if you don't mind, Prime. You got a good Bo Jackson story? There's a book coming out on him shortly. Our friend Jeff Perlman is writing it. He's going to come in studio in short order. You got a good Bo story,
well,
Prime?
Other than when he stiffed me and pretty much palmed my forehead like it was like he was a prayer warrior.
When did that happen?
Bo was Bo. And I can remember the play. It was a toss, sweep left. They ran downhill. Toss left, toss right. They ran down. I was playing left corner. I think we were probably about on the 40, 50-yard line, something like that, maybe the other 40.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a sweep left to Bow, and I was on the opposite side of the field, opposite side. And I took the – Coach Andrews always talked to us about the pursuit angle, and I had the perfect pursuit angle, and it was an interaction at probably about the 15-yard line. And I ran up on a man. I didn't understand at the time I was running up on a man. I just thought I was running up on a regular football player. But I ran up on a man, and he palmed my helmet and just stiffed me down and went on to score. And I just knew once I got to the sideline, the guys were going to be clowning me. And they did. But to Bo's credit,
mm-hmm.
we sat and talked a couple times in life, and he never mentioned it.
Hmm.
And I wanted to say, Bo, let's just get this out of the way. All right, come on. Let's just get it out of the way. But he never mentioned it. But Bo and I have only sat down one time together and just talked about sports and life and what we're going through. Because if it wasn't no Bo, it wouldn't have been a Prime. So that's how much respect and admiration. And they were trying to pit us against each other back in the day. And we had two totally different approaches to the game. But I love Bo Jackson. And, I really do. And every aspect.
And then his baseball ability, too. I mean, we're seeing a picture of him in the Royals God. And then you in the Yankees. Look at that photograph. Look at those children on the screen.
Called me a few years back, Richie called me, and I just recognized the voice. He said, you owe me. I said, what are you talking about? You owe me. I said, Bo, what are you talking about? I just left the doctor getting my fourth surgery on my shoulder that I threw out of place. And I dislocated when I was diving at your ball. inside the parking that I hit, I mean, he had three home runs. I said, well, Bo, that wasn't my fault, and you just got to understand. We had four home runs on the day. It was a great day for both of us.
Man.
We had four.
And people forget, Prime, you could have been the World Series MVP, right, if it wasn't for Joe Carter, right? Correct? Back in the day? Is that right?
You're right.
You could have been.
You're exactly right.
I mean,
you're right.
You had an incredible World Series with the Braves.
Yeah.
Superb. I mean.
If it wasn't for John Sherholz, I probably would have been MVP.
Oh, you don't want to go there, do you? You don't go there.
I'd have played more, Rich. I'm sorry. I'd have just been in the game more.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know about the other guy. I won't even mention him, but okay.
I know who you're talking about. You used to be a broadcaster. All right, so.
How's Susie and the kids, Rich?
We're great, man. We just have the.
I just want to remind. Can you remind your kids that they have a black uncle? Because I don't think you really talk about that at dinner time and all that. I just need to put my picture on the table.
That
just put my picture on the table with a plate in front of it so I can just sit and eat with my nephews. And okay?
You're ridiculous, man. Yes. I will do that tonight. Okay. All right, Prime. We'll talk more next time. I love you.
I love you guys.
Love you too. Thanks,
Prime. You got the crew there?
Is
the crew
there?
Yeah.
Oh,
hey. Prime, what's up, buddy?
Do you want to do this show again? Or is it that where you've moved on from the media completely? What do you want
to
do?
I haven't moved on from the media. I'll always be intertwined with the media. But I got to come. I got to come back. You got the best darn crew in the world. Those guys are so professional and so on point, man. And they're really good at what they do.
Well, thank you for saying that. The
feeling is mutual. The feeling is mutual.
It's prime time.
Everybody, check out Restore at RestoreHair.com. All you got to just do is just look at Dion. Just one look at Dion. And my children will do that at dinner tonight with a beautiful 8x10 glossy that will happen this evening. Take care, Prime.
I like that.
All right.
God bless you.
The same to you. There's Dion Sanders. Much love. Love that.
Prime time. The best.
How about him, Bo Jackson stories?
That was a man.
Let me tell you this story. This is a great story.
Like a palm.
Like
he
palmed my head like he was blessing me.
He thought he was running up on a regular football player, and he ran up on a man.
Man.
I mean.
The greatest what-if football player ever?
Bo?
Yeah.
Oh, Who could top it?
I don't know. It's insane.
Jeff Perlman, who's written a book on it, on Bo, he's going to come in studio in the next couple weeks to talk about it. Here's a great story, Prime. I think I might have told it before, but it's a new audience on the Roku channel. So here's it. It was the first stateside Pro Bowl. I believe it was 09. It was Saints and Colts Super Bowl in South Florida.
South Florida, Miami.
And so we were covering that Pro Bowl. And it was wild because the practices were at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, where Michael Irvin is a god. That is his high school. And Dion was part of the broadcast as well. And him being in the state of Florida, I mean, just name it. Mr. Florida State, Mr. Miami. I'm walking around. It was people everywhere. The final practice before the Pro Bowl was at some stadium right across the street from where the Yankees, prior to moving to Tampa, used to do their have their minor league games at St. Petersburg floor. And we're driving to the stadium. Dion is saying, to the practice facility, and Dion's saying, this place looks familiar to me. He goes, I think I've been here before. And we drive past the old Yankees spring training facility. I'm like, yeah, Dion, that's where you used to have spring training. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right. And starts to tell a story about how one game he raked off of some left-hander, some big, tall left-hander. He raked all day long against this guy and had a couple at-bats of him when he was a reliever, too. And I just took a stab, and I'm like, was it Lee Guterman? And he goes, yeah, that's who it was. And I'm like thinking to myself, who else, okay, who else is as immensely popular in the sport of football who can then also talk about raking against Lee Guterman in a minor league facility for the New York Yankees? I mean, there's nobody like him except, I mean, that's why I asked him about Bo, you know. Because Bo, in terms of his talent and, you know, college football, professional football, and then baseball and the aura and the mythology, he just said himself, without Bo, there was no Prime. Referring to himself in the third person with his nickname, and you don't bat an eye. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. My colleague Colleen Wolf from the NFL Media Group is coming in here. And also my power rankings. Who wouldn't want to see my power rankings? That's a rhetorical question. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. The NFL season this year, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. Check it out on the NFL live stream for free, care of Westwood One. Okay, very good. Let's go to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. First in, first up, Martin in Denver. You're here on the program. What's up, Martin?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Martin.
Love you guys. You and DP Crew is the best.
Love it.
Hey,
terrific.
Last time I called in, with regard to your Raider pick, I gave you the all due respect. This time, I'm not going to do that. I am going to throw a phrase out there, though. Prisoner of the moment. Now, hear me out.
Okay.
Get some nice shiny objects over there, so I understand why you made the pick you made. But, you know, it takes a 53-man roster to win a division in this NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask the question, who's going to cover Adams? Well, I think Sertan's going to answer that question for you Sunday night.
Wow, you are writing checks right now, Martin, in Denver. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so no, look,
The question you should have been asking was, who's going to protect Carr?
Okay. Now, you're not wrong about that last part. But here's what I will do. I'm going to push back, Martin, in Denver.
Okay?
I'm going to push, with all due respect, I'm going to push back and say to you, this weekend, okay, the fact that you could sit here and say it was a horrible choice to win the AFC West, I am mea culping. I've been saying that the entire, you know, for last 2 weeks, because I just want our friend Eric Stone Street to stop texting me. Because, but that's, he's got a point. Like, why would you not choose the Chiefs is his point. Why would you think just because Tyreek Hill is gone that we're not as good, that Mahomes isn't as good, that Reed isn't going to be the same Reed, that their defense is not going to be improved, that they have a championship quality? Why would you not choose the Chiefs again? You, however, sir, you're coming on the Broncos let's ride leg that you're standing on. I will push back and say this is going to be a rough weekend for you, Martin, in Denver. A rough weekend.
It very well may be. I'm just saying, you know, you're too good to be a prisoner of the moment. Let's just rethink that selection.
Okay. I appreciate that, Martin. I appreciate the tough love. Thank you very much for calling into the program. Keep calling. I appreciate the tough love. But you're not sitting here and telling me that the Denver Broncos are going to come into Las Vegas and turn the Raiders into 0-4. Possible? Of course it is. Now you're seeing the you know, this 0-3 conversation is, why are the Raiders 0-3? We had Dan Orlovsky on yesterday saying there are moments where not only is Carr, one would think, predisposed to throw the football to Davante Adams, there are moments where he is purposefully and willfully not giving into his predisposition, even when the coverage and the play call demands that he throw the ball to Davante Adams, because it is the move to make. That's insane. It is what is the best decision in the moment. And he's not doing it. And then you're seeing, well, I don't know who tweeted this out, but it was somebody in my timeline, meaning they are well-respected. saying that McDaniels, that Carr has struggled in the first 3 weeks of any new offense that he's been placed in. From Gruden to, you know, the Del Rio era, all of them. And that this is just another instance of that. And that it's always difficult because McDaniels' system is the way it is, and you must now learn it for him, and that this is part of what Carr is struggling with. And I'm wondering to myself, if that's true, how the hell is it a system where Davante Adams shouldn't get the ball? What?
Right.
So now it just seems like there are so many theories everywhere about it. And if it is McDaniels telling him, you're targeting Davante Adams too much, I want you to spread it around, then that's a square peg in a round hole that I didn't see. Come on now. And Davante Adams has got to be sitting around saying, yeah, I've always wanted to play with my guy, and I've always wanted to be out here, and I love living out here, and I wanted to be closer to family, and I wanted family to be closer to me and all that stuff. But 0-3 is not what I'm used to. So I don't know what it is. And there are just moments where, you know, ball goes off of Waller's hands. A quarter after the ball gets into Waller's hands inside the 2-yard line, and it's another holding penalty. It's just too many mistakes, too much non-same page moments leads to 0-3. But I'll tell you what, Denver is not the model of consistency coming out of the gate with their new head coach either. Okay. You got your $235 million quarterback getting clowned by Eli Manning on the Manning cast, which we didn't talk about yesterday, saying that maybe they should have given the $235 million to a punter.
Eli.
Okay. And the quarterback, the quarterback is currently more well known for viral moments on Twitter, whether it's twirling it's at half midfield before a game or him eating sandwiches, than he is for his play on field for a new coach that's gotten help in the booth on how to manage games from a guy who's 0 for his first 2 on challenges. So I don't need to hear that pushback on the Raiders, although I have to, because I made this choice. I don't know. I'm writing out checks too. They better beat the Broncos is all I'm saying. 0-4 is over. I mean, it's O-V-E-R over. because Denver would be 3-1, by the way, and you are what you are, and what they would be is 3-1 with a win on the road in division.
And the Chiefs could easily lose this week as well. At Tampa or wherever that game's going to be
played. Yeah, correct. And I do want to say that right now as well is just a I feel this because I'm texting friends and DMing friends and whatever in Florida. And
well, my dad is going to be right there.
And I don't know if it means anything like that I'm thinking of them. But Hurricane Ian is bearing down right now, and the scenes are frightening. It's Cuba's trying to get the lights back on.
Yeah, they have no power right
So
now.
All I can say is this, and I feel like I've been through this before, having been with the NFL for 20 years. It seems like we're in hurricane season where we all pay attention to it in the NFL because it's disrupting a football game, which isn't really, a good excuse for actually paying strict attention to it. But be that as it may, if you are in the sound of my voice and can get the hell out and take the precautions necessary, I think you should do it. And I know I might be talking to your dad, Chris.
Yep.
I don't know, but there's a lot of Floridians are like, I've been through this before, and it always goes up the coast until it doesn't. So please take care, and our thoughts are with you. Hour two coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.